Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 23rd. And this is our Happy Thanksgiving show. We want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. Obviously, it's on Thursday. But it's, you know, Thanksgiving is one of those extended holidays. It begins on Thursday. It really begins on Wednesday. And then, of course, on Thursday, we get to eat. We get to watch a little Cowboys football. At least we do here in the Dallas area. And then on Friday, of course, some of us just like to watch a little football and eat some of the leftovers. A lot of other people like to go shopping. Now, that's not something I've ever done before, but I know a lot of people out there like to do it. So whatever you do this Thanksgiving, I hope it's good and fun and that you remember that what we do on Thanksgiving is that we say thank you for all the blessings and all the good things that we have, family, of course, friends, our lives. And something that I guess I'm a little bit more conscious of as I get older, because I talk to friends of mine now who have health issues. And I think as you get older and you start counting down, as they say, I think your health becomes a more important matter. So yes, I'm thankful for the good health. I'm lucky in that respect. I've always been blessed with good health, and I'm always thankful for that, because that is something that, you know, when you lose it, you miss it a great deal. You miss your health a great deal. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and I hope you enjoy a lot of turkey. If you go shopping, I hope you find the deal you were looking for. And if you don't go shopping like I do, I hope you have a little family time there on Friday and Saturday to sort of kick back a little bit and enjoy a few things. Maybe you can start reading that book that you've been putting off. Maybe you can catch that movie that you've been wanting to watch. Maybe you can catch a good college football game on Friday. They've got some good ones always on Friday. And then, of course, on Sunday, then, you know, you start sort of getting back into the mood of going back to work on Monday. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And I hope you have a wonderful time with your family. You know, I've got a post over at the American Thinker on Wednesday morning where I'm talking about the Democrats and the border. And, you know, Democrats are starting to realize that politically the border is not helping them. And, you know, even Senator Kelly, who was just reelected in Arizona, well, we think he was reelected. I think he was, but there is some questions about what happened, I think more in the governor's race, because that is so close. I think Senator Kelly was like 5 points ahead, so that should be okay. But there's a lot of issues as to who voted or who didn't vote and some practical problems that they had in that Maricopa County. That's their biggest county in Arizona. But anyway, Senator Kelly, just reelected, was critical all of a sudden of the border, of the Biden policy and the border policy of the Biden administration. He came out and said, hey, you guys got to do a better job. Now, I understand why he's saying that, but politically he has to, because Arizona is one of the states that has been largely impacted by this crazy situation on the border. The only thing I don't know is why Senator Kelly didn't say that a year ago, when he actually had an opportunity to impact the border policies of the Biden administration. So he's a latecomer. You know, he's one of these latecomers to the issue, but, you know, hey, better late than never. The other point that I make in my American Post article, American Thinker article, my post in the American Thinker, I should say, the other point I make in my post is that there's a great editorial in the Dallas Morning News that came out Sunday, basically, you know, calling on the Democrats to open their eyes and look at the border situation. They can no longer dismiss it as just partisan attacks by the Republicans. There is a crisis on the border, and Democrats, at least here in Texas, they're being encouraged by the Dallas Morning News to get more serious about the border, because it is a real issue. The matter of the border is a real issue. So check out my post over at the American Thinker. It's called Democrats and the Border. And I hope you enjoy that, and maybe leave a comment or two over at the American Thinker. I also have a post coming out over the next couple of days about Thanksgiving and Speaker Pelosi. And my point is that, of course, we say thanks on Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I'm going to be very grateful about this year and be, you know, very happy about is the fact that Nancy Pelosi is gone. Speaker Pelosi will no longer be speaker the first week of the year. There's going to be a new speaker, a Republican speaker. We are pretty sure that it will be Kevin McCarthy, almost 99% sure that he's going to be the one. And, for many of us, it's good riddance, frankly, when it comes to Nancy Pelosi. I understand, and I understand that politicians are going to play politics, and I understand that they're going to be partisan. I get that. But Nancy Pelosi went over the line on many of these partisan issues. For example, her two impeachments of President Trump, I thought, were highly political and partisan. I mean, the first one was definitely unnecessary. You could argue that in the second one, she had a few more Republicans that went along with it. Okay, that's true. But the first one was purely political, and it didn't do a darn thing to advance unity in the country. On the contrary, it divided the country quite a bit. For example, the time that she, you know, ripped the speech behind President Trump in his last State of the Union, I thought that was crazy. I thought that was completely uncalled for, but she did it anyway. So she was always a highly partisan, not just partisan, I can understand that, but unnecessarily highly partisan in her ways and her demeanor. So I'll be very happy that she's gone. I'll be very happy that she is going to be history. My guess, from what I hear, is that she will be resigning the Congress probably after she gives up the speakership, and she'll be leaving and going back home. And we wish her the best in her retirement. But we're not going to miss her one bit, because I thought she was a highly, highly, highly partisan person who did not bring the country together and who went beyond the partisan line. There is a partisan line. I understand they're going to play that on both sides. They're going to play partisanship. But I always thought Nancy Pelosi went over the line and how she did these things. So good retirement to Nancy Pelosi. At least I'm not going to miss her very partisan, wicked ways, to be honest with you. Now, the Congress, I guess, is going to get to see Donald Trump's taxes. I've never really understood this issue, because I'm not exactly sure what they're looking for. Donald Trump, like many, many successful, wealthy, powerful business people, his taxes are done by these, you know, accounting firms and law firms who put their taxes together. You know, of course, he does business in several countries and in several states. So he's got to have all of these lawyers and accountants looking at his tax reforms. I've never understood what they're looking for, because if there was something in Trump's tax returns, that would have come out in the many, many audits that he's had, that he's done over the years. So I'm not exactly sure what they're going to find. This is one of those things that I hope the new Republican Congress will put to the side and worry about things that are more important. Again, I have no idea what they're looking for. I don't think they're going to find anything, again, because we're talking here about taxes that are in the matter of doing business. And it's hard for me to believe that one of these big law firms or one of these big accounting firms that does his taxes is going to be favoring somebody. I mean, they've got so much of a reputation to keep. It's just hard for me that they would be playing with Donald Trump's taxes or any other one of their big customers. So I think this is all a lot about nothing. And it's just another one of these efforts to devalue Donald Trump. And it, frankly, they all tend to backfire, because the American people can see through it. And the American people can see that this is nothing but a witch hunt of Donald Trump. It's time for the Democrats to let go of Donald Trump. Just let go. Let go. It's over. It's over. Let go. And let's worry about inflation. Let's worry about the border. Let's worry about the price of energy. That's what we need to worry about. But, you know, keep hounding Trump. I mean, it's after a while, it just becomes counterproductive. They're not going to find anything. Or I should say, I'd be very surprised if they find anything in these tax returns because, you know, again, what are they looking for and what exactly are they going to find? Don't get your hopes up because I don't think there's much there. Well, we remember today Louis Tiant, who was a great major league pitcher. Louis Tiant, he started out with the Cleveland Indians, but his big years were with the Boston Red Sox. You, I'm sure, remember him back in the 70s. And he was the kind of pitcher, he was very good in the clutch. If you had a big game to pitch, you give the ball to Louis. And he always, you know, there was one of his famous starts. Was game four of the 1975 World Series when he pitched a complete game. He threw 163 pitches and he completed the game. You know, 163, that's like three games for most pitchers today, but he threw a complete game. He was also very tough on the clutch, as I say. If you needed a big game, you gave the ball to Louis. And he was super popular with the fans because of his style, the way he used to move his body when he threw the pitch and all of that. Louis Tiant, by the way, a little detail about Louis Tiant. His father, Louis Tiant Sr., was another great pitcher, but he never got to play in the major leagues because he was black. So he played in the what they used to call their Negro leagues. He also played in Cuba, and he played in Mexico and in other places. But his father was a great pitcher in his prime, of course, unfortunately, like a lot of the other black players at that time, they didn't get to play in the major leagues. But Louis Tiant, one of my all-time favorites, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I've felt that way for years. When you look at his numbers, some would argue, well, he's not quite Hall of Fame material. I think he is. I mean, if he's not, he's pretty marginal. He won 219 games, completed a ton of games. His ERA was 3.30. He won two ERA titles in the American League. And as I say, he pitched some great games in the postseason for the Boston Red Sox. So Louis Tiant, happy number 82 to the man they call El Tiante. That's his nickname, El Tiante. Louis Tiant, a lot of great memories when I think of Louis Tiant. Again, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your food, enjoy your family, and enjoy everything that this holiday brings you. And if you get a chance, sit back and relax a little bit. I think you've earned it. You've earned it. We've all earned a little break, a little vacation in the next couple of days. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you after the holiday. Bye-bye, everybody.